All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way monologue. I will tell you, by the way, that what I'm about to say, a part of this is in this week's podcast. So this week's podcast, we're going to bring it out a day early because the whole podcast, the Right Philosophy podcast, touches on Christmas. So if you're looking for Christmas discussion or something to watch, I encourage you to catch that. It's going to come out tomorrow instead of Wednesday, so it'll be available for all of Christmas. But this story that I'm going to tell you in a minute is part of it. And I'll remind you also, too, by the way, guys, attorney Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He is a 30-year veteran in the practice of law, and he's the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about him in a minute. So look, one glance around the world, and you're going to tell pretty quickly that we are not in stable times, right? I mean, the last 4 years, we've seen the outbreak of conventional warfare in Ukraine, the likes of which have not been seen in Europe since World War II. The Middle East, less stable, with the attacks on Israel by Hamas and Hezbollah and the nation of Israel. Israel, in turn, has been leveling whole swaths of the Gaza Strip, just emasculating Hezbollah, too, in Lebanon and Syria. The southern border? Yep, the U.S. southern border, total mess. China sending spy balloons over our skies. The Canadian government's in upheaval. It's fair to say that the biblical reference of wars and rumors of war is very apropos. I mean, at every turn, the media is filled with headlines and punditry that lead off with terms like backlash and anger and harsh response, and one side accuses the other and unrest occurs and civil discourse is too often lost. And then comes Christmas. Christmas, whose true meaning is to welcome and celebrate the Prince of Peace. Peace, by the way, not as the world gives us, for in this world we will have trouble, but fear not, he's overcome the world. Remember that? I'm not talking about peace on earth. I'm talking about peace in us. The peace that surpasses all understanding, the kind of peace that you can have when nothing else in the world around you looks like you ought to have peace. You know, there's something absolutely different about the season of Christmas. I am fully aware, by the way, that not everyone believes like I do that this season that we're in is the timestamp of a birth of a Savior through divine intervention. But even if you set aside faith and you just look at Jesus as a historical figure alone, you'd still have to take note that no one has changed history more than him. No one has impacted more lives than the life of that one small child born in the manger. But yet even the hardest among us are aware that something different fills the air during this season of hope. We see it in the giving of gifts, the gathering of families, the time off from school and work. We see it in the stories of extra sacrifice and hard work to buy that one small gift for a child. It's evident in the wreaths that hang on doors and the lights on the trees. And say what you will, but Christmas is just different. Now, to be sure, there are those who don't celebrate for reasons of faith or maybe no faith. Christmas is not everybody's time of celebration. And I also know that families can find it to be a time of poignancy marked by the loss of a loved one or the absence at the table of a service member who's serving overseas. But underlying the story of Christmas is a hope that things can be different. That even in the lowest of times and the darkest of moments that a star can light a new way forward. That peace can break out in a time of unrest. Now, Christmas has a way of changing things, too, I think. As surely as the history and faith of the world changed in the lowly Bethlehem manger 2,000 years ago, there are still moments in time today that cannot be explained except to say that the spirit of Christmas overcame the worst of circumstances. Like, peace broke out when it made no sense to have peace. I mean, we can look to Washington's crossing of the Delaware at Christmas in 1776, a moment that led to victory that spawned other victories. A miracle in the midst of hardship that brought us to the birth of this nation. Books have been written about moments of faith in times of crisis in which answers came from seemingly nowhere during the Christmas season. Is it just a sentiment? No. There's something decidedly different about the Christmas season. Something that brings together what was once apart. Something that extends a hope that tides will actually turn. When peace descends like a blanket to cover the cold of discord. Like the miracle of the battlefield of peace that broke out in the trenches of World War I. You may have heard the story before. It's often referred to as the Christmas Armistice of 1914. So just weeks before that Christmas in World War I, Pope Benedict had actually called for a temporary ceasefire on the lines. He was asking that the guns may fall silent, he said, at least upon the night that the angels sang. But war is where men die and things get broken, right? Officially, the Pope's plea for peace on the battlefields of Europe in 1914, it was actually rejected by leadership on both sides. It's said that the misery of trench warfare in the First War to end all wars was on a scale that was unparalleled in world history. And on the night of Christmas Eve, 1914, in the mud and the slog of the trenches in Belgium, the 1st Battalion of the Royal Warwickshire Regiment from England was dug in, and they were utterly miserable. The trenches were dank and cold and fearful. The men of the regiment had been on the line for endless days and sleepless nights. A British machine gunner named Bruce Bairnsfather, he later wrote that as he huddled in his freezing narrow trench covered in mud that he began to hear singing. Singing? I mean, that made no sense. No one sings like that in war. So he called out to one of his fellow soldiers asking if he could hear it too. German soldiers were across no man's land in their own trenches singing Christmas carols. And there in the darkness, some of the British soldiers began singing back. And then a voice with a thick German accent is said to have called out across a span between the lines saying, "Come over here!" Well, that wasn't normal. This did not fit the moment. They're in war. They're in the trenches. Well, after the call was repeated again, one British sergeant yelled back. He said, "You come halfway and I'll come halfway." And what happened next is recorded in soldiers' diaries, letters home, dispatches from the front. It said that one man climbed out of his trench and walked into the void to meet the Germans. And a short time later, he returned smoking a new cigar and smiling at the astonished men of his unit. And then all across the lines, running the length of the Western Front, groups of French and Belgian and British and German soldiers all declared unofficially a ceasefire. And they crawled out of their fortifications and they met in the middle to celebrate Christmas. And for just a little while, peace broke out at Christmas right there in the trench lines. It's said that soldiers who had been fighting and dying just most recently began to shake hands, sing together, swap cigarettes and cigars, and pour the occasional libation. And in more than one instance, impromptu soccer games broke out. Western soldiers gave German soldiers haircuts. Men of both sides helped their enemies retrieve the dead who littered the battlefield. British soldier Jay Redding, he wrote home and told his family, he said, quote, "I shook hands with some of them, and they gave us cigarettes and cigars, and we did not fire that day, and everything was so quiet it seemed like a dream." A German lieutenant, he wrote, quote, "How marvelously wonderful and yet how strange it was at Christmas," he said. "The celebration of love managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time," is what he wrote. It's not clear how many troops actually participated in the Christmas Truce of 1914. Time magazine says that up to 100,000 men actually crossed the lines to celebrate with their enemies. High commands on both sides were said to have been shocked and disapproving. But it was Christmas. Something was different. Peace that surpassed all understanding had taken a foothold, and it was a battlefield time like no other. And a memorial was erected in England's National Memorial Arboretum that commemorates the Christmas truce. It's cast in bronze, it's a plaque, and at the memorial, it depicts on the plaque two uniformed arms reaching out and shaking hands. And 10 years ago this month in 2014, on the 100th anniversary of what has now become known as the Christmas Armistice, the English and German national teams played a match in remembrance of the men who had kicked a ball together in no man's land. It's said that as the day drew to a close that day on the battlefield, that a German soldier walked up and said to one rifleman from the British 3rd Rifle Brigade, he said, "Today we have peace. Tomorrow you fight for your country, I fight for mine. Good luck." So I'm telling you, Christmas is different. It doesn't mean that problems go away, per se. But the season that we're in is one that extends hope in hopeless times. I feel good about where we're headed in 2025, to be honest. But I also know that the road will not always be easy. But I know in the depths of my very soul that the God of peace will be with you if you let Him. So my friends, may God richly bless you with the hope of this season, no matter what your circumstances. May peace actually break out in your life, whether it makes sense to have it or not. Merry Christmas from all of us here at Right Side Media. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.